Aloha and welcome, everybody. This is Making Love Visible, and my name is June Dillinger, and I am so excited today to share with you a really incredible lady that I met. My Toastmasters group recently became international. The Ala Moana Toastmasters Club became international, and a gal showed up that just caught my eye, and I needed to know more. Her name is Nadia Gilks. She's an attorney, an artist, and an author of an Amazon bestseller book called Woke Up Dead. And when I latched onto her, I thought to myself, I need to know her. So we're gonna, let me just introduce her now. So Nadia, please say hello.
Hello to your audience, and thank you, June, so much for having me. I love visits to Hawaii, even if it's virtual.
it's been so great to have met you via Toastmasters, and I was intrigued by your background as an attorney, having moved to what I want to call a virtual event planner. And I just kind of want to just ask some questions that may sound a little bit ignorant or maybe not too smart, and just kind of dive in to see who you are and what you are creating. Will that be all right with you?
That's absolutely okay. When you see my life on paper, it's a big question mark, so I get it. You probably have a lot of questions.
You're my kind of girl. You're my kind of girl for sure. So I'm just wondering, when I met you, you gave me the invitation to join your virtual book club. And I believe that was back in August, where you had a wonderful menagerie. And I was so impressed how you coordinated it all. But what I want to know first is, what kind of law did you or do you practice, and are you still doing it, and why this?
Well, I graduated in 2008 from Texas Wesleyan University, or formerly Texas Wesleyan University in Fort Worth, Texas. They have since been purchased by Texas A&M. I started practicing in 2009, and I did family law and estate planning up until 2016. And I really did love it a lot. Like, I woke up every day and I'd go into court, and it was literally like Maury Povich in real life. Like, I don't know if Maury Povich's people are real, but I can tell you when you walk into a child support court, all of that is going on. And it was really thrilling and entertaining, and I did it for years and years and years. And then I lost my mom in 2016 after being her caregiver for a bit, and that just shifted my whole entire perspective. And family law, after going through my own family drama, became something that I really didn't have the stomach for anymore. It literally, like, a switch flipped. So I decided to pick up and do what everybody else who is grieving does, move to my happy place, Vegas, for Vegas. Liquor and entertainment. And now I'm kind of finding myself again, which is uncomfortable when you're a Capricorn and mid-40s and you thought you had life figured out and then you get jolted. But yeah, 2016 till now, I've been here really reestablishing myself and really just saying, you know what? Life is really, really short. I need to be doing the things that I love and the things that feed my soul right now, because if I only have the amount of years that my mom had, more than half my life is over. So I got to get moving. And that's kind of how I've been going these last 4 or 5 years.
So did I hear you say that there was, I don't know, I may be reading into something, but were there family dynamics plus the work that you did that said, I'm done?
Within my own family?
Yes.
Yes. I will say, you know, it was very interesting, because as a practicing attorney, sometimes you look at other families and you say, oh gosh, I'm so glad my family has it together.
That's not me.
And then you go through the situation yourself and you're like, apparently we don't have it together. So I just feel like sometimes mothers are the glue holding things together that you don't even know are broken. And when you lose that maternal piece of the puzzle and things start to unravel, there was a little family drama in our family, just as many families experience. And it just really made me refocus in a lot of ways.
I apologize if I hit a nerve. I felt
Not I'm good now. Yeah, 3 years ago I wasn't so good.
I think sometimes it's those poignant moments that really offer us an invitation to look at our lives and question, what am I doing and why is it like this? And what do they say, like a slap upside the head? Or
it's a something.
It has to be that jolting for us to wake ourselves up and actually be willing to risk the life that we're living in this human body called Nadia and called June to be able to get there. And so I'm curious, was Las Vegas your happy place? Are you in it now?
It was. I would come out here 4 or 5 times a year, sometimes just as a day trip, sometimes for a weekend. I would say, oh, I want to see Celine. I'd come out for the concert, or, oh, I want to watch the Super Bowl in Vegas. And I just kept going there. And actually, about a month or two before my mom got sick, I actually talked to her about, you know, I kind of think I want to move to Vegas. I keep going there. I don't know why. I don't just live there. So she kind of knew that was coming up. And after she passed, I was just like, that's it. That's where I want to be. That's where I'm going.
And did your book have anything to do with your life experience with your mom?
It had a lot to do with it. The title, Woke Up Dead, kind of has a double meaning. About a year to the day that she passed, I had this dream, actually, as I was going to see her, to take her to a doctor's appointment. I lived in Texas, she lived in Florida at the time, and I had no idea what was coming down the pipeline for me after this doctor's appointment, but I actually was sleeping on the plane, and I had this dream that I woke up at my own funeral. And it was so hilarious because I wake up and I'm like, who put me in this cheap casket? I don't even like this color. You know, it was just such a ridiculous, like, you wake up at your funeral and then you're like upset over the aesthetics. So that part of the storyline is one reason why it was called Woke Up Dead. But after losing my mom and kind of going through everything I just told you, it's exactly like you just said, something jolts you and it is an awakening. And so it kind of has a double meaning. I don't want people to have to be jolted in that way before they wake up and decide what they really want to do with their life. But most of the book is taking you through Hope's journey of putting her life back together after this crazy ordeal.
Oh, living the truth of your book, I see. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And that leads me to this virtual book festival, certainly the one that I was in with my book, The Benefit of the X, that Joe Peach gifted you. And he's just published a book himself. I'm so proud of him. It's so great. Mm-hmm.
He'll be in the next festival next week.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, so I've been thinking about how people really do make love visible, because generally it seems like some sort of shift has to come forward in our lives for us to take responsibility of ourself, of myself, mm-hmm. and then being able to transpose that. So how am I being where I show up in the world that I am like love in action? And the way I experienced you moderating your book festival in August blew my mind. And I'm like, well, of course, she was an attorney. She can be in front of the room. She can do anything. she understands the stress from family court, and she's in Vegas where it's like alive and exciting. And so now there's no nothing outside. It's all on screen. Mm-hmm. And your fortunate book is beautiful as you do on screen as well. So there's something that you've created that I think is magical. And I'm wondering, how did you create the virtual book festival? And what is it that keeps you going?
Well, my book came out in 2019, and I had all of these festivals lined up that I was going to do around the country. I was scheduled for the LA Times Festival of Books, the Decatur Book Festival. There was a festival here in Las Vegas, and a couple other things that I was looking into. And of course, when COVID hit, we had no way, you know, because your book came out last February, right before COVID, and we had no way to get ourselves out there. And I just said to myself, I want to have a way to reach people and tell them about the book, because, you know, when you self-publish, the marketing is on us. And so I started just throwing some ideas around, how could I have an online festival to showcase my book? And then I said, well, that's pretty self-serving. So how can I bring other people into the picture? And it just started growing from there. I started going online and looking at different people's stories that resonated me and invited them to the virtual stage and started crafting out an agenda. And it, I think it turned out really well. And I planned that with under 30 days. So I was really pleased with the end result, and everybody took something away from it, and they were just so happy to be featured and get that cross audience display. So I think it worked well.
It's really an honor to be invited to share on my book topic and to be able to be in your festival, which is on Zoom and worldwide, and to be able to share. So what kind of feedback did you get from your, have you gotten from your authors?
I got a lot of great feedback. A lot of people were able to connect with others and either get other speaking opportunities from it or do co-projects together. I don't know if you remember the children's book author that I had, Shonda Austin, and then I had another woman come in and do an activity for kids. They have actually gotten together, and Shonda's book will be turned into an activity kit for children, so I was able to make that connection. I know I connected you to another podcaster in Australia, because when talking to the both of you, I realized how in tune you were. So there were some connections made that I think will be lifelong friendships and maybe business relationships, and that's what I loved. And I still, even now, I'll go on Instagram sometime and I'll see somebody putting a quote from the keynote speaker or putting a quote from somebody's book that they purchased, and still taking lessons away from that festival in August.
That was a fantastic connection. Actually, Virginia Warren, I did an interview with her, and I'll be posting that up as well shortly after hours. I want to be sure that
he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's fantastic. A lawyer for love. That'll be a good topic. So hopefully people will tune in for that as well. It's not a visual, it's just an audio, but equally dynamic. And of course, she's so sassy looking. It'll be great. So I wanted to ask you, the topic, I was having a conversation with my son last night about your topic, or your the collective of speakers for the book festival. And I said, what I like about Nadia is she's alert and aware. And I said, all of her authors this time are Black. And he said, well, Mom, that's pretty prejudiced. I'm like, well, I could say they're all people, but it's the content and the conversation around it. And then I got all backed up. I'm like, oh my gosh, so how do I introduce? Because clearly my skin, my exterior skin looks like it's white, right? Mm-hmm. And then of course I double checked my ancestry.com, and I'm like, oh, I'm 33% Jewish and a quarter Native American. And, oh, I wonder if I have anything. And just like dumb stuff, but also very pertinent to this conversation, because I feel like diversity is a very, very powerful topic, particularly in the climate of where we are today. So tell me a little bit.
Exactly. So it really hurts that your son would say that it feels racist, because it is Black History Month. And that is why I chose predominantly a Black collection,
Nadia,
of authors.
Wait. It wasn't about you. It was about me using the word Black.
Oh, okay. Because it's Black History Month.
He was calling me racist, basically. And I'm like, wait a second.
I don't take it that way at all.
So I said, I was just trying to use it as a description, babe, to tell you about what I was experiencing. So that's why I'm saying I need a lesson in diversity, and I am open to all you have to share. So please tell me why this month, and a little bit about the buffet, and I'll share what I've got here as well.
Okay. I did this month because I kept following different pages on Facebook and Instagram. I'm on a lot of different author pages and follow a lot of people. And I kept seeing this collection of stories come out. And I said, you know, people are still creating, even though we're in the pandemic, and we're still here, unable to do a festival or any kind of anything. Actually, I did see one woman who had a drive-by book signing, and I'm like, that's brilliant.
I love it.
know, we're trying to make opportunities wherever we can. But I said, you know, it's been exactly 6 months from the last one, and it just so happened to fall in February. And I said, you know, a lot of Black authors don't get the the exposure that other authors get. Even if you have a traditional publisher, you don't often get the marketing dollars, you don't get the promos, and it's just so difficult for a lot of us to get out there. So I said, if I can even, you know, present an author to 50 people that they didn't know before, you know, maybe that helps, because you never know where that might go. And that was pretty much my idea behind doing something for Black History Month that highlighted stories that people don't always tune into, because I can tell you this collection of stories is quite diverse. And my keynote speaker, who is not Black, she's going to speak on white privilege. You probably have heard of her, Linda
Henry Miller. I have the list here. I wanted to share it, yes.
You know, so her award-winning speech, we're going to play that, and then she's going to lead us in a courageous conversation on white privilege and race relations. So I'm just really excited about how this one is shaping up to be.
Oh, super exciting. Yeah, I'm just going to read the list here. I have white privilege, navigating mental health issues. And these are all people that have written these books, so they've got to be some form of an expert on these topics. Advocating for your children in the school system. Mm-hmm. Uplifting the fatherless generation. Mm-hmm. So important. Just in general, the fatherless generation. Breaking the corporate chains. Moving abroad in confidence and finding work overseas. Well, I guess we could do that now, being that we're all online and you and I are overseas right now. And how to get to college for free. It's so exciting.
And I'm even adding more stories. I added another author today. Clubhouse is the new explosion.
I love it.
And I heard this woman speaking. Her name is Crystal Wyatt. And she is a wife of someone in prison. And so she has the whole foundation now providing aid to people who have loved ones in prison. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I need her story on my stage. And it's kind of the other piece of the puzzle. I have Dr. Shafiq Amin, who's going to talk to the fatherless generation. And then here comes Crystal talking to the family left behind when, you know, being in prison is one reason that people are fatherless. So that just kind of came together wonderfully. I came across Joel Plummer on Instagram. He's a teacher and he's very passionate about working with parents, telling them how to advocate for their children, trying to convince them to show up for parent-teacher conferences. I don't know why the majority of parents don't, but that conversation was very important to me. A lot of Black Americans are now getting the idea, as I am myself, that maybe America is not our forever home. You can't just pick up and move to another country. You need to do your research and do it right. So I have someone who has traveled the world with a child, and she has tips on how to get yourself together. You know, so all of these things were kind of designed to start conversations, yeah, to give people real life tangible tips so that wherever you are in life, hopefully something on this stage speaks to you and you can reach out to these people and get additional information.
So cool. So there's a book that I've been listening to that I was referred to by, I want to share this topic, a young person. A young person, that would be a they, them, because there's a whole conversation around they, them. So now my salutation on my email says pronouns, she, her, and hers. Mm-hmm. As a form of identification, some part of it feels like separation. And so I've been listening to the audio of White Fragility. Mm-hmm. That book has shared so much that has just blown my mind, whether it's fact or not. It's just food for thought. Mm-hmm. But what I just got from you, Nadia, is that I remembered we had breakout sessions where, mm-hmm, where the audience was able to choose me and another author or come into my room. So are you doing breakout sessions this time as well?
Yes.
How are they gonna choose?
Well, I do try to craft it very carefully, but the breakout sessions, that was people's favorite part of it. So instead of just sitting at a screen and listening to speaker after speaker after speaker, you have the opportunity to really have this intimate session with the author of your choice. And people love that, so I couldn't get rid of that. I do have a lot more presenters this time, but still have, right now I'm at 11 authors, and I try to separate people who are talking on the same type of topic. So I'm not having Dr. Shafiq Amin in the same session with Krista Wyatt because they're kind of talking about the same thing. I have Lonnie Love, who has done sci-fi, and I have authoress Taz, who's kind of done sci-fi. So I'm not having them in the same session. So I don't want people competing. But if you have someone who's talking about travel and someone who's talking about sci-fi and someone who's talking about the fatherless generation, you know, those are so vastly different. You probably connected with one over the other. So that's kind of how I break it up so that no two people are talking about the same thing in the same session. And that seems to work pretty well.
Do you have outside referrals for people that want to, like, if I knew somebody, could I pass their name along to you? All right.
Yes, people have done that as well. A couple of people coming to my stage this time, their friends were in the festival the last time.
Oh, fantastic. I'm going to share your flyer right now. Let's see if I can get this up here. So this is the flyer for Nadia's event that's coming up. Look at the date there. It's Saturday, the 13th. So it's a week from this Saturday. And you can join, register down there at NadiaPresents.com. And I've actually been to the website. It's super easy to navigate, really spot on. And it's got the topics there. It's just, look at you. Look at your darling hair there. You're a woman of beautiful hair. I love it. Yeah, so just take a screenshot of this or whatever you can do to save this. And join the conversation at register at NadiaPresents.com. And you can see the time there. It's from 9 until 4 p.m. And you'll kind of want to decide what breakout room you want to get into in advance, because I am sure this is going to be one hot session.
Yeah, there actually will be three different sessions. So people have three chances to get in with the author of their choice. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited for these authors. Their excitement is contagious, and just feeding off that energy, everybody is just really, really excited because, again, a lot of us don't have a lot of platforms right now. And you can keep marketing yourself on your own platform to your own audience, but how many times are your friends going to buy your book? You know, so when you can branch out and talk to a bigger audience, it's just really a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, I have to say that is one of the cool things about Clubhouse, that app. I look forward to developing a room myself down the road, but to be able to have that live tuned in conversation. And that
I've never moderated anything, so if you want me as a co-moderator, just let me know.
Oh, I will absolutely keep you on the top of my list. Fantastic. Let's talk after, most definitely.
Okay.
So I know that we can be as altruistic as possible. We can make love visible wherever we go, and we still have to pay the bills. We just do. Or somebody has to pay the bills, or maybe not. I know some people that have made it quite well in their life for a long time, not having to ever do a trade, but just be themselves, and their life is somehow taken care of. And so I'm curious, how are you, is there a monetization piece to this, or what are you doing outside of being super excited about this, living in Las Vegas? It's actually paying the rent.
Well, I haven't monetized the festival yet. Everybody keeps telling me that I should. They've given me all kinds of different ideas on ways that I can. I really don't want to charge the authors. You know, a lot of us, especially on our first book, we don't make our money back anyway. So I really didn't want to charge the authors. And this time around, I didn't charge the audience either. In the future, I probably will look for sponsors or look to add a vendor fair piece to it. Because in a traditional fair, you would go around from booth to booth and be able to buy jewelry and soaps and all that fun stuff. So the next time I might add that and charge the vendors, or just have a small fee for people that want to attend. Right now, it was more important for me to have the audience and not turn people away by the idea of paying. So free festival right now, could change in the future. But for right now, I am working part-time doing taxes for people because it is tax season. So that will be something that I'm doing a lot of from now until April. I pray that our tax season is a lot smoother this year than last year. Last year was the tax season that literally never ended. So I think I stopped doing taxes in like August or September. I mean, it went on really, really long because the IRS kept moving the date. This year, as far as I know, it'll be back to April 15th. And then after that, again, talk about having these epiphanies and being obedient, I woke up on Thanksgiving and decided I should go into real estate. So I bought a course that was on a Thanksgiving Day special, and I studied my butt off. And on January 5th, I took the real estate licensing exam and I passed it. And so at this point, I'm actually waiting for my license to come in and be approved from the real estate division. And so after April, I anticipate walking into the real estate industry. I didn't want to take the bar exam again here in Nevada, because there's no reciprocity. And if they start to take the uniform bar exam, I might consider taking it then, because that's accepted in like 34 states. But for right now, going from state to state taking bar exams is just not my jam. So right. So I haven't taken the bar exam here, but I felt like real estate was comparable a little bit to practicing law. And I'm already so used to dealing with families, and I love dealing with families. I'm a very compassionate attorney and turning into realtor, but to me it's happier. Like when you're in family law, you're really on somebody else's emotional roller coaster. And when there's children involved, there really aren't any winners. So now I still get to walk families into their next chapter, but 9 times out of 10, it's a happier chapter. They're expanding their family. They're getting their dream home. They have that security and that place that they're going to raise their children and see them grow in. And so it should be a bit less of a roller coaster and more of the happier times.
I'm so happy to hear that. And I mean, who wouldn't want to purchase a house from an attorney real estate agent? They probably know that, oh, she's not going to miss any of the details on this one. So there's like a little bonus.
And right.
Plus, I would beg to say that the community service that you're doing for authors, you being one yourself, and for exposing my book as well, is really a generous give. And the universe doesn't not notice our goodness. The universe unfolds to the nature of our song. And so actually that was Reverend Michael Beckwith of the Agape Church in Los Angeles. He said the universe corresponds with the nature of our song. And I have to believe that when we're continually working in integrity, these things come forward. So hey, if any of your families that move into a house need a book about the benefit of their ex and how to make love visible, you know where to find me.
Absolutely. I said 9 families out of 10 because I know there will be those that are probably downsizing due to divorce. So definitely, if I see anybody in that kind of turmoil, I will definitely lead them to your book.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's been so exciting having this conversation with you. I've learned all kinds of new things, and I'm absolutely sure this festival is going to be extraordinary, just as the last
Thank
one.
You.
So I want to ask you another question. Is there anything that I missed in the last 40 minutes or so that you feel you'd like to share?
Well, if people would like to purchase my book, do you mind if I display it?
Oh, please do.
Oh, because the cover is so pretty. So I have to say, and there's a ring light, but and it's backwards, I'm sure. But
no,
Woke
not.
Up Dead.
So. Beautiful.
So it's the yellow cover with the flowers.
A little bit. There we go.
There you go. So it's a yellow cover with the funeral wreath on it. And the cover art was done by Erica Raven Van Dorn, who I found in Texas. I was happening to travel to Austin and I was having a breakdown over the cover, actually. I went through like 5 designers and she actually came up with the concept and she drew that by hand. It took her about 14, 15 hours. Wow. She drew it by hand because she actually draws murals for a living, but she felt so bad at my dilemma. She said, let me try to help you. And it came out perfectly. And you know, the concept was different than what I envisioned, but it just led into the book so nicely because it's just intriguing. It's this pop of color that you see. So yeah, I love the cover art. My interior designer, Vanguard Imagery, they made the inside match the outside, and I'm so thrilled with my first book.
I should read my book too. Wait, let me
grab yes.
Oh, hang on a second. Look at me getting up on this call.
It's okay. I love your antique shelf dresser drawer back there.
Oh, thank you. Is that beautiful?
I can't tell if it's a dresser, a armoire, a buffet table.
It's armoire, but I actually call it my linen closet.
Okay.
So I'll just share my book too.
I love it.
The Benefit of the X.
That's a very strong cover.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
And I like how you have the writing exercises inside that go along with what you just taught us, or I should say guided us through, because you're not talking down to us. You are guiding us. So yep. I really like that.
Absolutely. That was a big thing for me, because I'm like, I am sick of doing self-help books. Sick of it. I don't want to do it. And so even with my my editor, she said, June, you need more exercises. And I said, Natara, they're not called exercises. They're called invitations.
Invitations.
She said, oh, and I said, because I don't want anybody, I want it to be an invitation to look at your life and see what you can change. And if you're not willing, then you should probably, wait, you might want to ask yourself why. You might want to ask yourself why, so.
It's hard to change, but you know, sometimes you get shocked into it. You know, I don't feel like I'm moving into the self-helpy arena, because that's can be so heavy and it requires a lot. But on January 1st, I woke up and I did a vision board for the first time ever. I'm like, Lord, thank you for letting me make it through 2020. And now that I'm in 2021, I got to do everything different. And so I did a vision board, which I keep right off to the side. I see it every day. And then I started saying, I need to have a daily check-in with myself. It's not enough to just pass it and see it and say, okay, that's what I vision. But every day I need to be intentional about doing something that's going to pour into what I said my vision is. And so I started creating these little sheets for myself. And I've got all my little buckets on there, you know, spirituality and your job and your saving money and your fitness and whatever else. And then I said, maybe other people will like these sheets. And on inauguration night, I sat in bed after being able to like finally breathe easy in this country. I laid out a journal. So my next project is a journal. Oh. So not quite a self-help book, but kind of getting into that arena, because I just feel like we all just need to think and do some things differently.
I love it. I just love it. Oh my goodness. Well, this time with you has been marvelous, and I'm so grateful, and I'm super excited to support you in this event and in the future events. It's such a big give on your part, and you have such a gentle, gracious way of making love visible for all the authors on the planet, and those that you discover are those that discover you. And I just can't thank you enough, Nadia, for your gracious being in my world. And thank you for indulging me last August, and for this upcoming February 13th and beyond, to infinity and beyond.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. It is nice to hear the feedback and how others were affected by it and how they felt afterwards, and having me on this platform. I'm so excited that you've got this new TV show now. So I will be looking for all your other episodes with everyone else that you've interviewed. And I appreciate you really reaching back to help highlight my future ventures. It means a lot. Thank you.
Awesome. Super, super awesome. I guess we have Toastmasters to thank for that.
That is true. Yes. And, you know, and honestly, that is one of the bright spots. And there are some, one of the bright spots that came out of the pandemic, because we had that opportunity to go all over the world from our couch. Every Toastmasters meeting is online. So I've been literally all over the world. I'm in a club in LA now. I visit with a club in London, in Australia. And so we've really had the opportunity to meet people that we probably would have never crossed paths with if it wasn't for the pandemic.
Definitely. So I'll just close by saying, Nadia, thank you so much for your time today. And I hope all of you that are guests will, you know, check out Nadia Presents, this book event, the virtual book event that she's having on Saturday, February 13th. It's actually, I'm going to share the screen with you one more time, because I want you all to see this. I want you to mark your calendar and actually chime in and sign up for this, because I think you'll find that the value in it is tremendous, especially if you're an author wondering how other people do it. These are all people, the majority, that are self-published, that have busted their chops. And we're feeling discovered by Nadia Gilks. So you need to check out NadiaPresents.com and make sure you get on board with her. She's just awesome. And again, Nadia, thank you so much for your time today. I super appreciate you. And hey, see you in the next Toastmasters meeting.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Hey.